Hallelujah.
I think there might be a notice there's been a theme this morning in our songs and who we've been singing about and to and being thankful for. Anybody might know, this is a pop quiz. I do this at school all the time. The difference is, I'm going to give you the answer. It's Jesus. Okay. Who we've been talking about this morning?
Jesus.
Who are we going to talk about? Amen. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Shout it from the rooftops. Majesty. Jesus, Jesus. All these words that are the same word. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. That's who the world needs to hear about. That's who we're told to tell the world about. Is Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Absolutely. Absolutely. And I want to tell you, I have failed. And I'm not proud of that. Before you stands a sinner. And these last couple weeks, I've had a sinful time going on in my life. And the sin that I've been struggling with throughout, it snuck up on me. It wasn't one I walked into willingly. It really was a sneaky sort of thing. I found myself watching the news way too much and thinking about other names that I shall not name this morning, okay? For you Harry Potter fans, he who, and or she, who shall not be named. But there's one name we need to hear of Jesus. That's the name we need to hear. I have failed in that, I truly have, because my mind has got consumed with what Violetta mentioned a while ago, the leadership in the world and what's going on and all the transitions and changes. Where have you come? Whatever side of that you might fall on, whether you think it's a good thing, a bad thing, I don't care. If you're saying any name besides Jesus more than you're saying Jesus, there's a problem. We have a problem as Christians if we are not proclaiming the name of Jesus rather than proclaiming the name of world leaders or politicians or would-be politicians or talk show hosts or whoever it is. YouTube folks, whatever. If it's not Jesus, we've got a problem. It's got to be Jesus. The disciples had a hard time with that concept, by the way. Amazing. How could they have a hard concept with that? They're following him every place. They're doing all these sort of things with him, and they still have a problem with the concept of Jesus. Even after he's crucified, even after he's resurrected, they still have a problem with Jesus because there's something else they're focused on. There's other names, there's other thoughts that are filling their brains that they've become so culturally accustomed to thinking they don't even realize they've got this problem. Even though Jesus has pointed out to them in numerous ways and numerous times, they still don't get it. Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, it's an amazing continuation of the Gospel of Luke as we get to Acts. I've been able to have the privilege this recently of being going through, I'm still going through the book of Acts with my students at school. And it's amazing the eye-opening times that I have in teaching and the eye-opening times that I see them having as they stop and think, whoa, this sounds familiar for our age and time. Yeah. So, verse 4, and while staying with them, Jesus ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. He's promising the gift of the Holy Spirit. And there's, you can almost see, as you read through these verses, if you really try to get into the verses at that time. This is the resurrected Jesus speaking. This is the one the disciples who just watched die on the cross thinking, what happened? I thought we were supposed to be taken over again. We're going to establish it. And he dies on the cross. But then he's resurrected. They don't recognize him at first when he's resurrected. They're confused about who he is when he's resurrected. Until he reveals himself more. And then they begin to understand again. Oh, there's Jesus, there's Jesus, there's Jesus. And they're happy they're with Jesus, but they still got this thing going on in their heads. They've been told the Holy Spirit's coming. He's just told them. And they've got to be excited, because the reason they're excited is because they still have the same thought in their head. That's not the Jesus thought, but it's a thought that comes from the culture that has told them again and again, this is what you need to be thinking. And so there's this air of excitement going on as we get to verse 6. So when they came together, they ask him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? Oh, you can almost see them. They're all just like giddy. Oh, man, this is it. This is it. This has got to finally be it. We thought it was going to happen before he was crucified. We knew he was going to get crucified. Okay? But now, oh man, this is when it's going to happen. Yippee! Yay. All right. Is this the time we're going to restore the kingdom of Israel? Israel. You can just hear it in the back of their mind, the chanting. They're so excited about Israel. When they should have been saying anything, Jesus. They're going, Israel. I said there's a lot of similarities today that our kids have even picked up on. Israel. Let's make Israel great again. Ooh, that comes a little close to home, doesn't it? Let's make Israel home again. You can imagine these guys, Israel. Recently, I did watch, and on what I watched was he who shall not be named, because I'm not trying to name any name except Jesus today, okay? But imagine someone standing in a big room with a bunch of people on one side and a bunch of people on the other side. And one side's going, Israel. And the other side's going, see anything like that recently? And guess what? If it was he who shall not be named that was not there, and it was she who shall not be named, guess what? The other side of the room would be going, Israel. Actually, they'd be going, USA. Instead, and then the team that was cheering was maybe the one sitting there going. Have you noticed that? So what's the problem? I've been told I have Christian brothers and sisters on both sides of the aisle in Congress. What is going on? It's because the focus is wrong. And a lot of that is our fault as Christians. Because instead of doing what we're told to do, to go out and tell the world about Jesus, we get caught up in all that same mess. I bet you've noticed there's two ladders back here. Okay. If I'm going to go change that light bulb, which one do you think I should try to use? Huh? Well, obviously, right up here. Oh, yeah. This is no problem at all. Get right up here. Do it, and guess what? The light of the world is right here. Jesus. Ooh, but what about that ladder? Jesus. And then we ask Jesus, okay, Jesus, what are we supposed to do? Love God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind. And like that, love your neighbor as yourself? Is that what we see happening in the world around us? Loving our neighbors as ourselves? Oh, we're trying to fail. That's what we're really trying to do. Yes. Is it true? Is his name shining above all other names right now in all the world? As Violetta said, meth, politics, confusion. We're told it's not God who's the author of confusion.
It's the devil that's the author of confusion, the author of confusion. Up here is Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. But here's what we like to do. We like to say, well, yeah, here we stand with Jesus, and we glorify God, and we love our neighbor, and we love our country. Uh-oh, now I'm getting on shaky ground for some of you now. Guess what? Love of God, love of neighbor, and love of country are not on the same rung. God is on the top rung. I'm not going to step up here, okay, just so you know. That's where the illustration ends, okay, just because it's too short. Otherwise, yeah, I'd be happy to hop up there. Yeah, no, not going to be hopping up there, but God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit at the top. And then there's, it says, like that is loving your neighbor. It's not saying exactly like that, okay? The next rung, this is I'm going to step up on that one yet either, okay? That is loving our neighbors. Is that where also have loving our country? Well, you can make an argument for that. Saying, well, yeah, if you love your country, you're loving your neighbor. How about the neighbors outside of the country? Oh, we don't want to call those neighbors. I'm going to tell you something, folks. This is a mistake that we've made. Which rung is country on? I don't know where God thinks we'd place country, but I got a feeling it's way, way lower on the rung than the ones that are announced to us. Loving our neighbor. Loving our neighbor means loving people we're uncomfortable with loving. Did you know that? What we often try to do, and this is what's so shameful for us, in the name of Jesus, is to build walls against our neighbors. Instead of loving our neighbors. I'm going to love you with the love of the Lord and build a wall so you can't come visit me. What's this little ladder over here about? What's this ladder about? There's two different ladders. There really are. In God's kingdom, and you can read through this, and you can see this throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament. In God's kingdom, there's a set-aside ladder. There's a set-aside being God's people. And then there's a whole bunch of other ladders. There's Nebuchadnezzar. He had a ladder. Yeah? Cyrus, he had a ladder. They all have their ladders. But is it the same ladder? Is it the same ladder? It's not. It's not at all. Now, is there ever any crossover? Well, I would hope so. I would hope that we would be able to interface with this ladder and say, hey, are you confused over here? Did you notice? You didn't quite make it. The reason you didn't quite make it, because you're on the wrong ladder. And we want to invite you over here. But we have a real, real problem of trying to keep both ladders going at the same time. Uh-oh. I don't have the same agility as I used to have. And even at that time, I wouldn't try to make the next step, I don't think. Because it's too big a stretch. Did you know that? It's way too big of a stretch. We're not supposed to be stretching. We're supposed to say, little ladder, this is just little. And this is not nearly as important. In fact, you can make an argument. And this ladder in some ways doesn't even exist. There's so many of the things that we put importance on are little fake ladders. And we're just climbing happily and climbing and climbing and climbing and getting absolutely nowhere. There's one way to God, and that's through Jesus Christ.
Absolutely. And so here are all the giddy disciples like, oh man, oh man. And how, what does Jesus say? You got it, boys. This is when we're going to go kick some Roman behind. Was that the next verse? I don't think that was it. Jesus said to them, it is not for you to know the times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. Notice something just happened here. Did Jesus scold these guys? He just really beat up on them. Doesn't sound much like it, does he? You know why? He loves these guys. He does love them. He knows they're confused still yet, and he's still showing patience to them and grace. And he just says, guys, you're focused on the wrong thing again. You're focused on the wrong thing again. But he says in a very polite way. But he doesn't stop there. He says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Oh, okay, this is sounding good again. Here, reminding, here's that power of the Holy Spirit. And here's what's going to happen. And it's not what they've been thinking. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. We usually don't title that the Great Commission. Do you realize what Matthew does is just a more detailed version of what Jesus just said here? Go out into all the world, baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit for the forgiveness of your sins. Right? Luke doesn't expand it as much here, but that's exactly what's going on here. You will be my witnesses. How do I be a witness? Oh, I go make up my own ladder. Oh, I build my own ladder. And I go over here. Am I on God's ladder? Now, the stretch really got a long way for me here. If we want to serve Jesus, if we want to help this world we're in, we need to focus on Jesus and tell people about Jesus. That's the Great Commission. That's what we're called to do. And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. By the way, so many of us, so many times me growing up as a Christian, I've read that plenty of times. I always envision Acts chapter 1 as the big party. We're going to go out and have the ascension party today. And we get out there, and then we read the next verse. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? What are you doing gawking into heaven? Why you seem so shocked? This is what's going to happen all along. He's been telling you the Holy Spirit is going to come. He's going to gift you with the Holy Spirit. It's going to be on the inside now. And you're going to be able to do great and amazing things. But they're just standing there gawking. And sometimes I think that is the picture of modern day Christianity. Just standing there gawking and not really accomplishing anything, not doing anything, not trusting, not believing, not invoking the name of Jesus and standing up for Jesus and letting people know about Jesus and that there's hope. It might be a confused mess out there, but there's hope that rises above all the confusion. There's beauty and light that rises above all the confusion, and his name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. There's a song that I love that I didn't ask Jay to lead, because there's so many other songs about Jesus that I wanted him to lead. And he's going to lead one of those here in a few moments. But another one is really important to me. One that has helped me a lot over the years. excuse me. There's one called in the morning when I rise. It's a really, really simple song. We're the ones that make things oh so complex. Did you know that? We really are the ones that just make it so complex. Oh, wait, am I on the right ladder? Should I be on this ladder? Should I split my legs further and further to climb both ladders? And we lose our focus on Jesus. This simple song. In the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. You can have all this world, but give me Jesus. And when I am alone, oh, when I am alone, and when I am alone, give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. You can have all this world, but give me Jesus. And when I come to die, oh, when I come to die, and when I come to die, give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. You can have all this world, but give me Jesus. In the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. You can have all this world, but give me Jesus. Amen. Give me Jesus. If you're here this morning, we don't offer invitations a lot, but this just seems like the one I need to offer an invitation. I have sinned by getting so entangled in the thoughts and listening to these different talking heads who you sat there and listened for 10 or 15 minutes and realized they said everything they had to say in like the first 15 seconds. So why am I still sitting here? I just keep rehashing it. You have a challenge this week. I have a challenge for you. I want you to start comparing how many times you think of Jesus, and you say the name of Jesus compared to saying the name of those who I shall not mention. And how many times your thoughts are there. You know, I never understood when Paul said that if you can remain single, it's a good thing. And basically it's because you won't be distracted. Now, is it bad for me to have thoughts about my wife and to say her name? Absolutely not. Jesus has blessed me with my wife and my daughters, and I use those names a lot. But guess what? Those names and those thoughts of those ladies are really, really, really important. And Jesus, I believe, is very pleased that I think so much of those that he's blessed me with. But even with that, the temptation is to think more of them than to think of Jesus. We have to get Jesus in the proper place. We have to do that. So this week, test yourself. Where are you spending your most time? Are you spending your most time reading the Word of God and reading about Jesus? Or are you watching YouTube more or whatever it is you watch? Are you speaking the name of Jesus? Are you speaking the name of somebody who's not Jesus? That's the challenge for the week. And the challenge for you now. If you realize you've been like me, and I have definitely been sinful. I didn't think of it as sin, but I have been sinful in allowing my thoughts to be pulled away from Jesus and my words to be pulled away from Jesus to go someplace else. I want to focus on Jesus. I want Jesus to be number one in my life. I want people to be able to see Jesus when they look at me. I don't want people to be able to have a conversation with me about Jesus. And I want to have the courage to have a conversation with them about Jesus and to know who Jesus is. We're going to stand and sing. And when we do so, if you'd like to come forward and say, hey, I need to be some refocus, just the way I do, please come forward. And if there's other reason for you to come forward, please do that too, as we stand and sing this wonderful song. And please listen to the words you're singing here. This is a beautiful song.